The Mystery of the Tweed Club, Adventure Number 1.
You don't exactly fit in here at Milford, but you try.
They let you in, so you must be intelligent.
They're new to letting in the likes of you. You're new. Milford appealed to you because of its history, because of how deep it goes, because you'd seen versions of it in tens of movies, because you'd read books where people inhabited worlds like this, obsessively learning, expanding, discovering each other, discovering their own minds, discovering new ideas. That's why you came here. And because you wanted to study astronomy, of course. But you're also here for the experience, for the feel of it, for the environment. Nostalgia for a time you've never walked in, for the romance of clothing, for the space. It's not always easy for the other students to look at you and include you. You're alone here. Perhaps that is romantic in its own way, like the architecture and the manicured grounds. A certain kind of classmate looks at you in a certain kind of way, though. And that part of being alone is not romantic. There are blue bloods here. Generations of families coming here forever. Family lines that walked these halls when they were new, made this place what it is, decided the standards. It is harder than you thought it would be. But you make a friend. His name is John. He talks to you for a long time and you share a passion for the stars, for physics, for pipes, for velvet chairs, for symbolism in literature, for sculpture. You're excited to talk to him, recommend books to him, receive recommendations. He says he'll meet you the next night for dinner. But when you arrive on the green to meet him, he is not there. The sun goes down and the moon comes up as you sit on a bench looking at the stars, hoping your friend is all right. Just as you're about to head back to your dormitory, you see him, but he's not alone. He's walking across the green with 11 other chaps, young men, very put together, all wearing tweed. Their haircuts are tight and their grooming seems like something out of a men's magazine. They're all wearing tweed. Some of them hold lanterns. This tweed club slips away as soon as they appeared. You don't quite know where they go, of course. It is some sort of club or something. Another thing you're not invited to. The next day, when you see John in the philosophy lecture, you ask him, "Where were you last night? I saw you taking a walk with the others. You could have just told me you were busy. I waited for ages. I really don't appreciate being stood up like that, and you didn't even wave to me in the green." And he says, "I did not see you there. And I am sorry I got my wires crossed, but I have duties. Duties to the club. They always come first. The society is my priority. And I can't afford to socialize with you. There's just too much to do. No new friends, not this year. So sorry." You don't see him after all of that. Perhaps he's switched and is no longer sitting in your philosophy class. Perhaps he is as busy as he said he was. But one evening, you decide to go out to the green to do calisthenics. No one will be out there. Also, the sun is going down and you love to exercise in private, in fresh air. A perfect plan. As you stretch at the bench, the mysterious Tweed Club walks across the green again, some of them with lanterns, all of them in perfect step with one another. You watch them slip through an archway that you swear wasn't there a moment ago. Is that archway there in the daytime? Surely you hadn't missed it. It is rather an ornate one. Perhaps you're just tired from the countless hours of poring over your star maps and voraciously reading until you fall asleep in the old velvety chair in your dormitory. Perhaps you're going mad. Night just looks entirely different sometimes. The 12 young sharp men step under the archway, seeming to disappear into the shadows. The light of their lanterns cannot even be seen anymore. You stand up and walk over. It scares you to look into the shadows under the archway. You just can't seem to figure out where they've gone. You decide you're just tired. Now is not the time for late night calisthenics on the green. That was a mad idea anyway. You're going to bed. Marching back across the green toward the south doors, you are struck. Under your feet, under the grass, a strange singing vibrates on the soles of your shoes. Tones gently shaking beneath you. It is a song you feel in your bones. It is both beautiful and ugly all at once. You try to discern the words. Is it English? You can hardly tell. What is she singing? Please, tell me, what do you do next?